I'd like to warmly welcome everyone to this Wednesday gathering. It's a live teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by the Foundation for Prayerful Living and open to all. We're delighted that you've joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. For those of you with a computer, our web address for this meeting is prayerfulgathering.com. And to hear previous healing messages, just click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive on the prayerfulgathering.com webpage. Well, let's now join together in song with hymn number 219 from the Christian Science Hymnal. Welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. The topic of today's readings is Exercising Our Freedom to Read. I shall be reading from the Authorized or King James Version of the Bible, along with correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. From the Bible, we'll start with the Acts. Paul said, I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people. And when he'd given him license, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with the hand unto the people. Then the chief captain came and said unto him, Tell me, art thou a Roman? He said, Yea. And the chief captain answered, With a great sum obtained I this freedom. And Paul said, But I was free-born. From Jeremiah. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, Write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Take thee the roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon the roll of a book. And Baruch the son of Neriah did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. And they asked Baruch, saying, Tell us now, how didst thou write all these words at his mouth? And then Baruch answered them, He pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. Now it came to pass, when they had heard all the words, that they were afraid, both one and the other, and said unto Baruch, We will surely tell the king of all these words. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, and he took out of Elishama the scribe's chamber. And Jehudi read in the ears of the king, and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with a penknife, and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth, until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, after that the king had burnt the roll, and the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, Take thee again another roll, and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, hath burnt. Then took Jeremiah another roll and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burnt in the fire. And there were added besides unto them many like words. Now from Nehemiah and Isaiah. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. So they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly. And they gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. The vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, Read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, Read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned. Wherefore the Lord said, Forasmuch as this people draw near me with their mouths, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. They also that erred in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath appointed me to preach good tidings. Now, from the New Testament, the Gospels of Luke and John. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he'd opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil and cried out with a loud voice. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst of them, he came out of him, and hurt him not. And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Now finally from the book of Revelation. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, said, Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto him, Take it, and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand, and ate it up. And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many peoples, and nations, and tongues, and kings. Now, shall read correlative passages from Science and Health by Mary Baker Eddy. The influence or action of soul confers a freedom which explains the phenomena of improvisation and the fervor of untutored lips. The enslavement of man is not legitimate. It will cease when man enters into his heritage of freedom, his God-given dominion over the material senses. Mortals will someday assert their freedom in the name of Almighty God. Right motives give pinions to thought and strength and freedom to speech and action. The time for thinkers has come. A book introduces new thoughts, but it cannot make them speedily understood. It is the task of the sturdy pioneer to hew the tall oak and to cut the rough granite. Future ages must declare what the pioneer has accomplished. In the author's work, retrospection and introspection may be found a biographical sketch narrating experiences which led her in the year 1866 to the discovery of the system that she denominated Christian Science. As early as 1862, she began to write down and give to friends the results of her scriptural study, for the Bible was her sole teacher. But these compositions were crude, the first steps of a child in the newly discovered world of spirit. She also began to jot down her thoughts on the main subject, but these jottings were only infantile lispings of truth. As a certain poet says of herself, she lisped in numbers, for the numbers came. Certain essays written at that early date are still in circulation among her first pupils, but they are feeble attempts to state the principle and practice of Christian healing, and are not complete nor satisfactory expositions of truth. Her first pamphlet on Christian Science was copyrighted in 1870, but it did not appear in print until 1876, as she had learnt that this science must be demonstrated by healing before a work on the subject could be profitably studied. From 1867 until 1875, copies were, however, in friendly circulation. Before writing this work, Science and Health, she made copious notes of scriptural exposition, which have never been published. This was during the years 1867 and 1868. These efforts show her comparative ignorance of the stupendous life problem up to that time, and the degrees by which she came at length to its solution. But she values them as a parent might treasure the memorials of a child's growth, and she would not have them changed. The first edition of Science and Health was published in 1875. Various books on mental healing have since been issued, most of them incorrect in theory and filled with plagiarisms from Science and Health. They regard the human mind as a healing agent, whereas this mind is not a factor in the principle of Christian Science. A few books, however, which are based on this book are useful. The author has not compromised conscience to suit the general drift of thought, but has bluntly and honestly given the text of truth. She has made no effort to embellish, elaborate, or treat in full detail so infinite a theme. By thousands of well-authenticated cases of healing, she and her students have proved the worth of her teaching. In following these leadings of scientific revelation, the Bible was my only textbook. No human pen nor tongue taught me the science contained in this book, Science and Health, and neither tongue nor pen can overthrow it. This book may be distorted by shallow criticism or by careless or malicious students, and its ideas may be temporarily abused and misrepresented, but the science and truth therein will forever remain to be discerned and demonstrated. Although this volume contains the complete science of mind healing, never believe that you can absorb the whole meaning of the science by a simple perusal of this book. The book needs to be studied, and the demonstration of the rules of scientific healing will plant you firmly on the spiritual groundwork of Christian Science. This proof lifts you high above the perishing fossils of theories already antiquated and enables you to grasp the spiritual facts of being, hitherto unattained and seemingly dim. Our Master healed the sick, practiced Christian healing, and taught the generalities of his divine principle to his students. But he left no definite rule for demonstrating this principle of healing and preventing disease. This rule remained to be discovered in Christian Science. Jesus established in the Christian era the precedent for all Christianity, theology, and healing. It is his theology in this book, and the spiritual meaning of this theology, which heals the sick and causes the wicked to forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. If the reader of this book observes a great stir throughout his whole system, and certain moral and physical symptoms seem aggravated, these indications are favorable. Continue to read, and the book will become the physician, allaying the tremor which truth often brings to error when destroying it. The author has endeavored to make this book the Aesculapius of mind as well as of body, that it may give hope to the sick and heal them, although they know not how the work is done. Truth has a healing effect, even when not fully understood. The first school of the science of mind healing was started by the author with only one student in Lynn, Massachusetts, about the year 1867. In 1881, she opened the Massachusetts Metaphysical College in Boston under the seal of the Commonwealth, a law relative to colleges having been passed which enabled her to get this institution chartered for medical purposes. She closed her college October 29, 1889, in the height of its prosperity, with a deep-lying conviction that the next 2 years of her life should be given to the preparation of the Revision of Science and Health, which was published in 1891. I have revised Science and Health only to give a clearer and fuller expression of its original meaning. Spiritual ideas unfold as we advance. A human perception of divine science, however limited, must be correct in order to be science and subject to demonstration. That which when sown bears immortal fruit enriches mankind only when it is understood. Hence the many readings given the scriptures and the requisite revisions of science and health was key to the scriptures. A Christian Scientist requires my work, Science and Health, for his textbook, and so do all his students and patients. Why? For First, because it is the voice of truth to this age and contains the full statement of Christian Science or the science of healing through mind. Second, because it was the first book known containing a thorough statement of Christian Science. Hence, it gave the first rules for demonstrating this science and registered the revealed truth uncontaminated by human hypotheses. Other works, which have borrowed from this book without giving it credit, have adulterated the science. Third, because this book has done more for teacher and student, for healer and patient, than has been accomplished by other books. The still, small voice of scientific thought reaches over continent and ocean to the globe's remotest bound. The inaudible voice of truth is to the human mind as when a lion roareth. Then will a voice from harmony cry, "Go and take the little book, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey." Mortals, obey the heavenly evangel. Take divine science. Read this book from beginning to end. Study it. Ponder it. It will be indeed sweet at its first taste when it heals you. But murmur not over truth if you find its digestion bitter. Ages pass, but this leaven of truth is ever at work. It must destroy the entire mass of error and so be eternally glorified in man's spiritual freedom. You could prove for yourself, dear reader, the science of healing, and so ascertain if the author has given you the correct interpretation of Scripture. In the spirit of Christ's charity, as one who hopeth all things, endureth all things, and is joyful to bear consolation to the sorrowing and healing to the sick, she commits these pages to honest seekers for truth. Mary Baker Eddy.